All right. Well, good morning again to you. It is really, really, really good to see you. And I'm glad you chose to be here today. I know it's the advanced appointment on the calendar that you make every Sunday morning to gather as the church, whether it's online or in person. So we're really, really glad you came today. Thank you, by the way, for giving around 200 or so shoeboxes, a part of the Operation Christmas Child. Yeah, 200 is wonderful. Your generosity is always, for me personally, almost 20 years here at King Street, this church has been phenomenally generous in so many ways, whether it be your time, sharing your spiritual gifts, or even your energy and resources to give in these really tangible ways. So thank you on behalf of people who don't know your name, but are going to be blessed over the Christmas season. Also, I want to remind you that we have a very important event Tuesday night right here. We're going to host it in our chapel, perhaps, or maybe here, depending on how many people come. We have over 100 people registered already. Allies for a Strong Canada. I mentioned last week that I work with this organization, volunteer, of course, with Michael Westcott. And we have Reverend Mark Leach from Australia going to be with us talking about how we collectively as Christians can advocate for Judeo-Christian values at home right here in Canada. And so I hope you'll come. It's free. It's only 1 hour from 7 to 8 p.m. You don't want to miss it. I'll be moderating the conversation, but it's going to be a very, very meaningful hour together. So we are blessed today to host our general superintendent. And for those of you who might be new to King Street or new to perhaps our family of churches known as the PAOC or Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, David Wells serves as our general superintendent. And what that means is he oversees the districts in Canada. And also, you know, there's an international expression of the PAOC. The really simple framework for it is that we are not this solo church out there kind of doing its own thing. We are held together by doctrine and mission and shared values. And so David has been serving as general superintendent for 17 years. He's also been a district superintendent in BC Yukon, and then he's also been a local church pastor, and he loves the church, he loves pastors, he loves the mission of Jesus, and that will be pretty clear this morning during his teaching. And it's so good to have his wife Susan with us as well today. They're wonderful humans, and they are down-to-earth people, and they are faithful leaders, and it's a wonderful thing to introduce him, Susan, as well today. So would you put your hands together, give a very warm welcome to David Wells.
Good morning. I like that guy. Yeah, I believe you do. You can show it if you'd like. That's wonderful. And it's just great that it worked out with David and the team to be with you for a Sunday. We've talked about it over a period of time. You want me to? I'm good. Okay. If my wife says that, then I'm really good. Okay, yeah, okay. So I appreciate the privilege of this because I know what it's like to pastor in a church and be leading your congregation and wanting them to be engaged in the Word and the mission of God, and then to have great staff members that also share the Word. So for you guys to let me be up here today, thank you so very much. And I just want to fit in with the heart of Oshawa King Street community and what God's been doing in your church. But I also want to bring probably a breadth of experience. I'm actually going to be fairly testimonial today, talking about a great life. Now, I hope you don't sense it as vain for me to say, Susan and I have lived a great life. And you go back and you evaluate and you say, okay, what is it that are the main things, the key components of living a great life? And the fact of the matter is not everything's gone perfect. I don't know if my wife's noticed, but I'm not a perfect person. You know, we've had circumstances in life that I'll refer to, but I do think of the power of testimony. Some of us were raised in the life of the church where, especially on Sunday nights, we'd be sitting there, me and my home church in Edmonton, and I'd be a teenager sitting there two-thirds of the way back with my buddies, and, you know, And all of a sudden, Pastor Al would say, "It's testimony time. Who has a testimony?" And everybody would look at each other. Anyone ever been there, done that, you know? And sometimes the testimonies were absolutely bizarre, you know? And they went from the sublime to the ridiculous. But many, many times they spoke of the goodness of God, the miraculous intervention of God. From time to time, Pastor Al would look back at me and say, "Young Dave Wells, I bet you have something to share." And, you know, I would have something to share because God was at work in this teenager's life. Isn't that great? And so you share the good news of God, your testimony. But as we know, testimony isn't always about the high points and everything going smooth. Life individually, life as families, life in the church can be a bit of a roller coaster ride sometimes. And I mean, if you like going to Wonderland on Halloween night and doing roller coasters, more power to you. But it's not always the greatest thing to be going on the roller coaster ride of life. But your testimony can still be, it's a great life because of who you live for and who you trust and who's at work in your life and in your family. When I think of testimony, I think first of all that it's based in even our roots. When I talk about my life, I inevitably, anyone who knows me, I'll talk about my ancestry. That my bestefar and bestema came over in 1928 to Pier 21 in Halifax from Denmark, and they came, she with her family, her brother and his family, three boys, and my grandfather came along because they were dating, but she didn't know that she wanted to marry this guy till she came to Canada and found out if she could stick it out here. And so there you go, coming over on a ship from Denmark and Norway, landing at Pier. Have you been to Pier 21? It evokes a lot of memories for us who have ancestry that tracks that way. You know, and for them to get on a train, just rumble across this country, bypass Toronto, sorry, and keep going, and getting out to Saskatchewan and Alberta, and settling in there. And, you know, early on, they did get married, three girls, but then my grandmother passed away of cancer at a very young age. So there's my grandfather raising these kids, but he's raising them in community because the aunt and uncle are right across the other quarter section, and there's this whole community around Danish Lutheran Church and so on that, you know, rallies to Jacob's side along with the three girls. Well, how did that impact me? I grew up with this unbelievable glue in my life about how family mattered. And I grew up with a mother whose door was always open because she'd been raised by community and she knew how to create community. And through my ancestry and the lessons my mother learned, I learned how to value the other and to let people into your life. I'd hate to be doing the calling I'm doing right now without that tracking in my life and learning that lesson. So ancestry is part of our story. It's part of our life. It can be good, bad, and ugly. Then you tie that to who your family is. Susan and I came to into each other's lives, and we believe it was the will of God. But we bring along Sue's story because everyone should read this story about the faithfulness and goodness of God to come to a young woman being raised in a home where they do not know personal life with Jesus, where sadly alcohol is ruling, where there's pain, and yet a woman called by God who wanted to reach the world, but the polio epidemic had influenced her body so much that she lived life in a wheelchair, could rarely leave her home, and yet she opened her home to her nieces and school kids, and they'd come after school, and she'd have sandwiches and snacks for them, and then she would share about Jesus. Susan grew up watching Billy Graham specials on television. She grew up listening to the testimonies of Nikki Cruz and others because of Emma. A place at my table, the door open, people welcome into our lives. So when we met each other, you know, I had my mom Ruth and the open door and the valuing of people and living an open life. She'd been transformed by Emma opening her door and sharing the good news of Jesus and the call of God on her life. And the journey began to have a family, but also to ensure that our family lived for others and lived out our purpose and calling as a family, not just selfishly focused on ourselves, but how would the Lord use us to open up our lives and our homes, our doors, to others. Now, I married a called woman. You know, part of our life and that sense of purpose comes from the Lord putting his hook into your life and saying, you're mine. I've called you by name. I've chosen you. That's first of all made real to us when we come to living faith in Jesus, like I did at the age of 8 as a kid going to Sunday school. And then having Wally Muth get down on his knees and look at me and say, Dave, I can really see God's got his call on your life. He's really going to use you, Dave. I've lived with that all my life, this sense of purpose, this sense of calling, not because I'm perfect, not because I'm any great shakes, but because of God's love, mercy in all of our lives to call us, to say, come, be mine. And be who you're called to be. And we're not all asked to be the same person or the same thing or all get on platforms and stages, but we are all called to be who Jesus calls us to be. And you will not know a great life if you run from that call. There's a hook, and the hook gets in your life, and it says, first of all, come to me, trust me with your life. Know that I am Lord over all, that I've created you, that I know how you're built, that I know what you long for, that I can give you purpose, that I can walk with you by my Spirit so you're never alone. I can give you my power so the Holy Spirit is within you. I can give you my wisdom, my understanding, my word will be life to you. What a great calling. So we say yes. And then the Lord says, and I know what I built into Gary. And aren't you glad Gary let God put his hook into his life and say, you're mine. I've called you by name, right? Each of you. And so I married a called woman, believe me. And our kids grew up in a home where, you know, the calling on our lives was evident. Of course, we had the call to be mom and dad, but we also had a call to be a family that demonstrated that God had his hook in our family. And so I'm married to a Nana who writes graphic novels. And some of you would maybe know the story historically of Maury Blair, Child of Woe, and how he was raised in an abusive home and the near-death experiences of that, but how God intervened through a local church that showed that they had a heart for the abused and the broken and found a place for Maury into their lives. And the transition and transformation for him to become a child of God and to live with purpose and to share his story in schools and to youth camps and on for decades. And now we live in an era where it's harder to go into schools and share stories like that. And it's so, this Nana said, this is too good of a story to waste. Let's put it in a way that young men, young women, and others can see it and read and be impacted. This is being translated into multiple languages. The Bible Society is ensuring that it's being placed in all the young offender centers across Canada. Because, track with me, a woman named Emma, in a wheelchair, unable to get out of her home, still found a way to reach the children of her community. And a young woman said yes to God's call. Even in the negative experiences surrounding her household, she was transformed by the calling of God on her life. And now, all these decades later, still keeps sharing the story how Jesus can take you from any circumstance and transform your life. So I honor you today. So calling's an anchor. And you know, you arrive where you arrive. Here we are. I'm here today. Hi. You know, we talk about general superintendent, all that kind of stuff. But if it's not God's call, I don't want to be doing it, believe me. You don't want to be pastor. If you're calling, and you don't get haughty about God's call because of why? It's his call. It's his enabling. But as I track my story, and I track everything from ancestry and family to church family to experiences even as a young man, pre-marriage and after marriage, and I find myself today having sort of this macro role in the life of the church. I represent the Pentecostal community at global events with other Christian communions, and so I have the privilege of representing the Pentecostal family at the inaugural Mass for Pope Leo, but I'm engaged with many people from different communions and seeing what God's doing in the church globally. I tell you, the Spirit of the living God is at work all over this world in unbelievable and phenomenal ways. And the Spirit of God is working in places and communions and lives in fresh and living ways. And you do well not to box God into memories of even 40, 50, 60 years ago, because this is 2025, and the Spirit of the living God, like we've prayed for and like we sang in those testimony meetings, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. And what a privilege to have a calling where I get to be engaged and share from the perspective of those who know Jesus, who love Jesus, who know the transformation of his work in our lives, and how the Spirit of God empowers us to go and make disciples. So that's the rootedness. A great life for all of us comes down to these main things. First of all, the great commandment. We must build our lives around what Jesus said was the greatest thing. Now look at that text again, but don't read it like it's the first time. Jesus replied, when he's asked, what's the greatest command? What's the main thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. To know a great life is to center yourself within the love of God and to love Him heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is a painful thing as someone who served the life of the church and been in community with so many people to watch over the course of life for them to lose first love, like the Church of Ephesus in the Revelation, all the good things they're doing, all the activity, but something's dying on the inside. The spirit is shriveling up. And I want you to know today, the only way to experience a great life from the beginning to the end is to keep the first thing the first thing. I want you to know, and I speak this publicly because I want to be accountable to this, that when my family finally puts me in the box and people come and talk about all the things that were done and all the places and all the relationships, in the end, I want them to be able to say, on the final day, before he breathed his last breath, David loved Jesus with a first love that was greater than any day before in his life. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, who would love us and give himself for us. I will never lose the wonder of the cross, because it's in the wonder of the cross and the wonder of God's great love for us that our entire lives are centered on those things that matter the most: communion with God, the presence of God, the Word of God, and then the ability from that love to love my neighbors as myself. May you never lose the wonder of the cross. May you never find yourself losing first love. That's true in marriage. That's true in other relationships. We are built to keep leaning in and growing in the grace, knowledge, and love of God. I'm passionate about this, you know that. Because travel the world, have the privileges of living out your calling and so on, but in the end, I find myself so impressed by the people in churches like this and in contexts across our country and even globally to find people who live with first love. Those that still love the presence of God, love to know that we are, first of all, worshipers in spirit and in truth. Those who know the place of prayer, not because of duty or because we're trying to get things, but because it's there in the intimacy that we meet our Lord, our Savior, our Almighty God, face to face as one who talks to us in intimacy. Show us your glory, Lord. How's your first love? I really believe there's a great life for everyone in this room. But it starts with first love. It starts with the great command. It starts with us aligning our lives with the living God and not living apart from Him. And then that leads to loving your neighbor as yourself. And a great life involves the great requirement. Because out of love for your neighbor as yourselves, you do justice, you love mercy, and you walk humbly with your God. That is the great requirement. What shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Is it the offerings? Is it the sacrifices? No, here's what it is. He's shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly. Hey, let's be honest. You know the trip lines that are available to the evil one in my life. You do. Because some of you serve in leadership, and others you watch leaders. And if you think you're big stuff, if you think you're really something, if you think only your opinion is what matters, you're going to crash and burn. You will not fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Even in our culture today, our culture needs to see a people of God that out of great love for their God, they love their neighbors as themselves. And they go, like you're doing even in these coming weeks over this Christmas season, and you do justice, and you love mercy. How about in this culture if a whole people of God rose up that said, we love mercy. We practice mercy. We are merciful to our neighbors. We're merciful to those we go to college and school with. We're merciful. And we walk humbly. We know who our God is. And we know what he's done in our life. And we humble ourselves under his mighty hand that he may be exalted. This isn't about making a name for us. This is about him being lifted up. I just am so aware as a national leader that we need an entire movement of hundreds of thousands, even millions of believers. They do justly. They love mercy. And they walk humbly. And then, empowered by the Spirit, we go and we make disciplined followers of Jesus, disciples, here in Oshawa, Durham region, Ontario, across Canada, up in the north, in Israel, across all of the people groups represented there, to the ends of the earth, we go. And a great life is only known if you live by the Great Commission. You represent Jesus out of your great love for him, out of his love transforming your life, out of love for a neighbor that shows up in justice and mercy and humility, then empowered by the Spirit, we go. And we make disciplined followers of Jesus. What an adventure to be on right now in 2025 across this world and in Canada. A lot of you have seen perhaps the write-ups about the Quiet Revival and how God's supernaturally at work in so many different contexts. How the fact is that the median age and appearance of a member of the Anglican Communion globally is a 17-year-old Nigerian woman. So when you think Anglican, do you think of a 17-year-old Nigerian girl? But that's what God's doing all across the globe. He's raising up young men and young women to be all that Jesus calls them to be. He's putting his hook into their hearts. Recently, I was with our Anglican friends in England, and we went to a church experiencing the Quiet Revival, and there were dedications of babies taking place, but the place had been impacted by all these young men and young women coming to living faith, and the women speaking the word were still in their late 20s, and there they were, and they were developing these discipleship materials, and they were all going through Alpha and everything, because all these kids are thirsty and hungry for the living God. Now, speaking to myself, if I'm an angry white guy who's just so ticked about everything that's going on all around our culture and all around the world, and all I've got to talk about is what's wrong and what's broken and who's at fault. Do you think this wave of the Spirit amongst young men and young women will be sent to that kind of reception? I think when the Spirit of God is at work, He will send them to a people, whatever your race, whatever your age, whatever your background, He'll send them to a people who love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, who love their neighbor as themselves, and who do justice and love mercy and walk humbly before God. And then, empowered by the Spirit, they go amongst these lives, and they share good news, and they share words of wisdom and knowledge, and they bring gifts of healings and miracles, because you are the empowered people of God. He's not going to be bringing them to angry, nasty people because they've forgotten about love for God and love for neighbor and doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly. But boy, He'll bring them to you. He'll bring them to this church, Pastor David. I believe that because you'll get the main things to be the main things. And that is a great life. And that is a great church. And that is what Jesus longs for Canada and for Oshawa and Durham and Ontario, is that people will find the living God in a living church marked by the things that are the main things. Will you join me? Will you say yes? And personally, I believe you will know a great life. As a family, I believe you'll know a great life. As a church, you're experiencing great things, but there's so much more. If you're with me on this, would you stand right now, right where you are, and offer yourself to the Lord with an upraised hand and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Let's tell Him, first of all, how we love Him. Let's right now experience the wonder of His love. Once again, the wonder of the cross. Lord, we are a people marked by Your sacrifice, marked by Your love, transformed by You. You have washed us. You have cleansed us. You have made us new. You have put Your Spirit within us. We celebrate that today, Lord. We lift our voices and say, "Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We love You as You first loved us." Lord, let first love just explode in every life and every family that's represented today, into every context where we are. Lord, we're not perfect. We know we need cleansing. We need You to continually wash us with water by Your word, even as You're doing today. Lord, we pray that You will give us a supernatural love for neighbor. Lord, some neighbors aren't so great to love. And Lord, we need Your supernatural love. We need to see through Your eyes. Help us to do justice. Help us to be just people. Lord, according to Your scales, not our scales, Your scales at work in our life. And Lord, to show mercy. Everyone, just think of someone in your life right now, maybe family, maybe extended out neighbors, maybe people in school or workplaces. They need mercy. They're so angry. They're so broken. They could be easy to hate, but You choose right now in prayer before the living God to say, "Lord, show them mercy. Let them know Your mercy. Set them free by Your mercy, Lord." Would you just pray that right now for a neighbor, for a family member, for someone that right now you might be out of relationship with? Show them mercy, Lord. Bring transformation, we pray. So, Lord, we humble ourselves under Your mighty hand. We offer ourselves to You because we can't do this on our own. We thank You for the empowerment of the Spirit. Thank You, Lord, You didn't leave us on our own, but You gave us the promise of the Comforter, the one alongside of us. Lord, I pray for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit on everyone who has their hands raised before you, because they can't do it alone. They need your empowerment, your filling, Lord, your supernatural giftings. Lord, we need words of knowledge and wisdom on Thursday as much as on Sunday. So, Lord, each one, may they be touched by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, empower us in this season that is challenging. Lord, let the people called by your name show up and be the light of the world, bringing the good news of the living Christ. And Lord, I pray for everyone that they will look back and said, be able to say on the final day, as we go to be with you, what a great life to live it your way and see your fruit through us. And everyone who's committed to that said a big amen. 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 Amen.